Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for this Easter Sunday morning. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that we're able to come again and worship him. We're come to give him thanks for yesterday's blessings and today's blessings and for tomorrow's blessings. We thank you, Lord God, that you're here in our midst by your Holy Spirit. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and be amongst us. We have already begun to worship you. And now, Lord, take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. I'm so happy this morning. I'm fit to be tied. And I'm not happy because I won the lotto. You know, we're not supposed to play it as Methodist pastor, but every now and then when it's millions of dollars, we pray about it. Because if I win it, remember, I'm giving the church 10%. So just don't tell the bishop and they'll take it. Trust me. The Methodist will. That's not an Easter morning story. I don't want to start with that story. But I'm just making a quick confession. That's all. But I'm happy for a better story. I know you want me to be holy and saintly, and I am. I'm just holy and saintly with a spirit that loves the Lord, a freedom to worship him. I'm not bound up, I'm free. And so my sermon title today is Victory in Jesus. Simple, isn't it? Thinking about a title, and I kept thinking and thinking what I'm going to write, and then I thought, Victory in Jesus. You know, there's a song, the strife is o'er, the battle is done. One of those old songs, it says, hallelujah, hallelujah, the strife is o'er. The battle is done. The victory of life is won. The song of triumph has begun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The powers of death have done their worst, but Christ, the legions, hath dispersed. Let shout of holy joy outburst. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, by the stripes which wounded thee, from death's dread sting, thy servants free, that we may live and sing to thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so we sing our hallelujahs this morning. But then there's another little song. You all know the movie Sister Act 2, don't you? And as the young choir gets ready to sing there in the auditorium, it's filled with students and nuns and priests, and everybody's there. And then they began to sing, but everybody seems so quiet. Nobody's happy. Everybody's watching because they don't know what these inner city kids are going to be doing. You know that scene, folks. Have you ever watched it? I've seen that movie a couple of times. Everyone is watching still. And the mother of the school, you know, she's very serious and she's sitting there. And then with prompting from the nun who was the music director, they began to let loose. Then one of the young boy, he started singing the solo, and then he gets into a high soprano or a tenor soprano, whatever they call those things. And he began to sing, Oh Happy Day. You know, that's my song this morning. Oh happy day. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day. When Jesus washed, when Jesus washed, when Jesus washed, when Jesus washed, he washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. You understand, it's a happy day. Amen. And I wish I had that little choir here. Remember when they start moving? And the nun and everybody's just moving and the priest. And you never saw a priest and so dance that well. Oh, happy day. And then he goes on, he taught me how to watch, fight, and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed, when Jesus washed my sins away. And this is a happy day for us, because we are reminded today that Jesus has washed our sins away, that we are victorious because of Jesus. This Easter Sunday morning, we no longer need to be sorrowful or weeping. We have wept on Good Friday. We were weeping yesterday or sorrowful. But on Easter Sunday morning, we are joyous. We have the victory in Jesus. But sometimes we Christians act as if we have lost the war. You know, you could win the battle, but lose the war. You could win that situation for a moment, but lose the war forever. But I've come to remind you this morning that Jesus both won the battle and the war. And because of that, we can rejoice in him. I read this little reflection that talked about the continuing unnecessary battle that this soldier had. And it goes, on March 10, 1974, Lieutenant Onada was the last World War II Japanese soldier to surrender. Onada had been left on the island Lubang in the Philippines on December 25, 1944, with the command to carry on the mission even if Japan surrenders. Four other Japanese soldiers were left on the island as Japan evacuated Lubang. One soldier surrendered in 1950. Another was killed in a skirmish with the local police in 1954. And another was killed in 1972. Another continued his war alone. All efforts to convince him to surrender or to capture him failed. He ignored messages from loudspeaker announcing Japan's surrender and that Japan was now an ally of the United States. Leaflets were dropped over the jungle begging him to surrender so that he could return to Japan. He refused to believe or surrender. Over the years, he lived off the land and raided the fields and gardens of the local citizens. He was responsible for killing at least 30 nationals during his 29-year personal war. Almost $500,000 was spent trying to locate and convince him to surrender. 13,000 men were used to try to locate him. Finally, on March 10, 1974, almost 30 years after World War II ended, Onada surrendered his rusty sword after receiving a personal command from his former superior officer, who read the terms of the ceasefire order. Onada handed his sword to President Marcos, who pardoned him. The war was over. Onada was 22 years old when left on the island. He returned a prematurely aged man at 52. Onada stated, "Nothing pleasant happened in 29 years in the jungle. Like Onada, many people are fighting a lonely battle against the God who is offering reconciliation and peace. There are many folks who do not understand the gift of Easter Sunday. They continue to fight the lonely battle of not accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior, of not believing that the story that he lives, and like this Japanese soldier, even after the war was won, the battle was over, and the war had been won, they continue to wage the battle against themselves. But this morning, friends, you're here today, and I'm glad you're here with me, because I know that you believe, or you're at least seeking to believe, that the war is over, the strife is done, the battle has been won. And therefore, we can sing the song that we love so much, Victory in Jesus. We know that little song. And the chorus says, "Oh, victory in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all is through him. He plunged me to victory beneath this cleansing flood. Join me, church, with a oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. This is what it is this morning. He bought us. The songwriter says, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning of his precious blood's atoning, and then I repented of my sin and won the victory. And so this morning, we win the victory because of Jesus Christ when we say yes to him. And so, as we come to remember the Easter story, remember that, as the scripture tells us, it was early in the morning. Saturday looked bad for the disciples and the woman and everybody around. They thought the fight was over. I told you Friday night that folks were crying at the cross. His mother was weeping. The brothers were hiding, except for John. Peter was hiding and the rest of the guys were hiding. The rest of the folks were gone. People thought it was all done, finished. And then when Christ said it was finished, they truly believed it was finished. But it was only Friday, and Sunday was coming. And on Sunday morning, scripture tells us in the Gospel of Luke, from the Message Bible, it says, at the crack of dawn. Our Bible says very early in the morning. But at the crack of dawn, the woman came to the tomb. And scripture tells us what they came looking for is not what they received. What they came looking for, they received something better. Do you know, church, you could come looking for something, one thing, and you can receive something better. I hope whatever you come looking for today here, you'll receive it. Because heaven has already been given to us. It's a free gift. And so the woman came, and they came with the spices they had prepared. They found the entrance of the tomb. The scripture said they found it sealed. Can you imagine? Frankly, they found it what? They expected to see it sealed, but they found it open. Anybody know in the scripture? Remember, if I make a mistake, correct me now. It's a test. If I say the wrong thing, check the Bible now. They went to the tomb and they brought the spices and they found it open. Can you imagine the surprise they had? I always think, if they were coming to put spices on him, how were they going to get the tomb open? Have you ever thought of that? That's another thing I've got to check the Bible. Because that tomb was sealed. I just got a revelation. Got a revelation this morning. That tomb was sealed with the big... Have you seen it in the movies? Because I wasn't really there, you know, but you know what I mean. From what the movie said, I just saw Risen. You know Risen, the new one? I saw a great, great movie. I saw Risen when it first came out, first day I went to see it, and I was looking. They put the seal of the Roman seal on the door, and it's a big, round thing. How were those women going to get it out? They must have been expecting something miraculous, right? Because were they going to squeeze the myrrh and the things and bomb the body into a hole? I was pondering that. Just another thing for the Bible. Are you checking if it was open?
The gardener.
They were going to get the garden, but trust me, the gardener couldn't open that seal. I saw the movie. I'm just telling you, huh? It would take 6 gardeners to open it up. Just from the movie, huh?
Discovering Pastor.
The Board of Trustees, they were expecting the Board of Trustees. This is a good Easter... They were expecting the Board of Trustees to open it up. Well, let me tell the Board of Trustees as I get back to the story. I cannot leave my house through the front door. So Board of Trustees, we have to talk after service. Back to the text. Sandy, I can't get it open. I had to walk around this morning. Then I finally thought, if the tomb is empty, and I can't even get out of my house, I got to do something. But anyhow, they came and they were going to expect a gardener, and the gardener is going to have what? He's got to have a pickaxe, he's got to have the real tool, because from the movie, that place was sealed. The Bible says, but not the gardeners didn't open it up. God had a greater plan, right? There were two men, or a bunch of men, or one man, and they were shining with light because they were angel of the Lord. The tomb could only be opened by the angel of the Lord. I know one text says the gardener looks like a gardener, but Luke text says they were shining with light. And as those women looked at the open tomb and they put their head in, there was nobody there. Can you imagine? And I always wonder another thing that's not in the Bible. How come they didn't have a heart attack or anything? Nobody screamed or yelled. I would be screaming or yelling. It's amazing because nobody had ever been raised from the dead by themselves. We know the Lazarus story, but Lazarus was called out of the tomb. He was called by Jesus out of the tomb. It had never happened that somebody got buried in the tomb and raised up by themselves. So they could not have been expecting that. They looked and it was empty. And they were surprised. Matthew tells you they began to cry. Luke says they were perplexed. And then somewhere there, the angel of the Lord said to them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You know, in that movie Risen, they're looking for Jesus. They're looking everywhere for Jesus. The Romans are looking everywhere for Jesus. And they said it to the Jews and to the other folks, you must find the body. You must find. So they're digging up dead bodies to find the body. Digging up, they're desecrating Jewish holy sites to find the body of Jesus. And as you see them trying to find the corpse, looking at corpse, they end up finding a corpse. And the face was all messed up. But the man, the corpse, had nail print in its hands and in its feet. And so when they brought it to Pilate, and they said, this is the body. He says, how do you know it's Jesus? He says, we don't know if he is Jesus because his face is messed up, but he's got the mark in his hands and on his feet. And someone said to them, the mistake you're making that you are looking for the living among the dead. Because he's risen. He's not here. Sometimes we're looking for the living Christ among our dead things in the world. But he's not there, he's alive. And so the women were perplexed and they ran to tell the guys. And you know, the text says a couple of them did not believe. And people still don't believe that Jesus he's risen. There are folks who still believe, who believe that he's still dead. But thanks be to God for the many of us who believe that he's alive, that he lives and reigns supreme, and that you and I have the hope of eternal life because he lives. Because he lives, then we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. It doesn't say because he lives, our life is perfect. No, it doesn't say because he lives, we won't have any sickness. It doesn't say because he lives, we won't have any problem. It says all fear is gone. Because he lives, and I know he holds the future. And I know he holds me and you in his hands. That's why we can face tomorrow, because he lives. And so when they told Peter, Peter believed. And this story began to go forward. Now, here's the beauty about this story. It didn't end there. Thank God it didn't end there for us. You know, we have a choice to make. We could either live on one side of Easter or on the other side of Easter. Right? On one side of Easter, it is death. It's Good Friday. It is destruction. It's desolation. We could live on that side of Easter, or we could make our choice to live on the other side of Easter, which is resurrection, new birth, and new life. Amen, church?
Amen.
We have a choice to make. We could believe, because anybody who tells us that we don't have the truth and we don't know the story, they don't know any better. Because there's nobody living who's 2,000 years old. Is there anybody living who's 2,000 years old? No. So they don't have the truth. So we have to make our choice to believe that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Come on, church. Doesn't mean that we won't physically die, but we have the hope of eternal life with him. Paul is telling the church, this is why we are so hopeful as Christians. Not because we are crazy. We are hopeful because he lives and reigns supreme. And because of that, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed all of our sins away, washed it with his blood, that you and I have the hope of eternal life. And so today we come rejoicing, because we know we have got the victory in Jesus. Another songwriter says, up from the grave he arose. We know that one. With the mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. We don't need to be too complicated. We don't know how he arose. We just know that he arose. Are you with me, church? We don't know how it's done. We believe it's done. Don't you believe it's done? If you believe it, say it with me. This, I believe he arose.
I believe he arose.
And he lives and reigns for you and me. And so we could rejoice this morning knowing that Christ arose. And then we have another song that says, Easter people, raise your voices. Sounds of heaven in earth should ring. Christ has brought us heaven's choices. Heavenly music, let it sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Easter people, let us sing. Do you know that we are Easter people? Do you know why in all most Protestant churches you don't see Jesus on the cross? Do you know why you don't see Jesus on the cross? Because he's no longer on the cross for us. And we are Easter people. We are resurrection people. Do you understand, church? We know he died, but he is risen, and we are resurrection people. We believe that he rose from the dead, and the Apostle Paul reminds the church. He reminds the church at Corinth. He said, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so will he be made alive in Christ. What he's telling us, that everything was taken care of with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning. Every single thing. And so we can then sing. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And you know what happened, church? He walks with me and he walks with you. And he talks with us a long life's journey way, narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I tell you today, if Christ isn't living in your heart, today is the day to say yes to him. You can say yes to him right where you sit. If you have never said yes to Jesus, Easter Sunday morning is always the time to make an invitation. If you have not ever said yes to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know we cannot live off our mama and our papa religion. We've got to stand before Christ for ourselves, church, this morning. Each and every one of us one day will stand and give an account to God for our life. And I tell you this morning that heaven is a free gift. And all you have to say, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe that you're Lord and Savior. I believe that you came into this world to die for me and to give me the hope of eternal life. And my Bible tells me there is no questions asked. No, you don't have to write a paper, no thesis, no dissertation. He will open his arms wide, that same arms that were bruised and nailed to a cross, and he will accept you as your Lord and Savior. So church, friends, this morning, I know it's sometimes not part of our culture in this church to encourage people to accept Christ, but I want to leave you with the greatest gift that the world has ever known, the gift that I have received and everyone here who believes have received, and that is the gift of eternal life with Jesus Christ. It has been freely given to all of us. And if you have never accepted him, think on it, because today is the day of salvation. He willingly wants all of us. Jesus says, I do not want anyone to lose anyone. Wants them all to come home to be with him. And so today we rejoice. And we have a happy day. We have a blessed day. We have a glorious day. Because he lives, so too can you and me live. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Just give God a praise offering this morning. Just say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive. Oh, thanks be to God that he's alive. That we serve a risen Savior. That he's in the world today. We do not serve brick and mortar. We do not serve a stone God. We serve a risen God who will go with you. And these young people who are here today, I know you may not know what I'm talking about. It says she's an older lady, and what does she know? I know you may say that, but I want to tell you that one day I was just as young as you all. And oh, I thank God that my mama brought me to church. Some days I didn't want to go. I says, why do I have to go? But I'm thankful she kept bringing me. And when she was no longer here and I was alone, I had that same Jesus to call on. Because he has never left me. There's something, a magic about this, that one day I pray that you'll all get it, young people. I want to give you Jesus, Savior of all the world. And he loves you all so much. He loves you. You all need him in school. You need him in this world. We are so worried about ISIS or ISIL. We're worried about being slashed on the subways. I go to the city all the time, and now I think, oh God, I'm on the 2 train going downtown. Who's going to take out a knife to slash me? I'm going there tomorrow. I keep thinking, should I cover from my head all the way down just to travel? But every now and then I could hear Jesus says, I'm with you. I could not maneuver this world without knowing that I have a Savior who's with me. So today, Jesus loves you. He really does. Amen.
Amen.
And now we will sing.
Hallelujah.